Hi, hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor with the Wusas and email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of field and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Email Marketing Experiments. Today, we have an amazing guest in the house, a longtime friend of the brand who has supported us in many and numerous ways, from classes to coaching and more. And today, he's going to be letting us in on a secret he discovered. I don't know if I want to say accidentally, but he did discover it and he did try it out. And it did work, and it falls in line with our mantra for the podcast, which is Think It, Test It, Share It. And he did just that. And so today we're going to be looking at how he got his emails out of spam using Gemini. We all know Google, and I'm sure that you're already curious to hear how that happened, what he did, and all of that. Hello, Chijoke. It's a pleasure to have you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Safaya. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. You know, while we're supposed to do this for a while now, I'm glad that we are finally doing it. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Now, Chijoke is a marketing expert with expertise in email marketing and LinkedIn group. So we are both in the healthcare space, but he decided to sly us a bit. So a few years back, about 3 years ago or so, he quit his job as a pharmacist and took the risk to make money with his skills online. And at the beginning, according to him, it didn't pay off, but then he landed his first client. And I think that was when everything started changing. But today he works with e-commerce and information clients to manage and run their email list. At the same time, he's also building his agency reputation engine. If you follow him on LinkedIn closely, you'll see that he has talked about it and he has done a lot of interesting things. I keep looking at him and I'm like, what strategy are you even employing? One day it was Instagram, you were, you know, building community, everything. Then it disappeared and you came back on LinkedIn and boom, everything just blew up. And so that is what he does with a reputation engine. And he has been doing it for himself and showing us that he has systems that work. So Chijoke, why did you decide to leave us in the healthcare space? Let's start from there.
Okay. I think basically, one of the things that really motivated me, first of all, I'll be very, very sincere, was the money. I was working very long hours. And so then I was working. So I leave my house 5 a.m., come back home like 11 p.m., Lagos traffic. Then next day, I'm out again trying to make money. So I weighed it. I was falling ill a lot and all of these things. So I said, okay, what can I do now that can help me, you know, create value, make income for myself, and then also give me the ability to have capital to start up my own stuff. I'm not talking about this publicly. My ultimate goal, basically, is to build my own pharmacy brand, have my own product, and all of that. Is some of the parts already been talked about in the work with my wife, who is also a pharmacist, but that's the end goal. So I think digital skills is like a conduit to actually achieve my personal dream. So that's basically what happened.
Okay. I mean, you escaped to come back to build something bigger than yourself. That's interesting. So if you could master any skill outside of email marketing and LinkedIn groups, what would it be?
So I think one of the skills that I really want to really master, and I'm looking to also master actually the ability to run profitable ads, because see, that area is the wild, wild west, and organic can do so much, right? Organic can do so much, but seriously, we are getting to a place where it's now a pay to play kind of system, where if you have the capital, it's better off, you know, using it running ads. I think that's one of the skills I would love to have, the ability to run profitable ads consistently and think about creatives actually get results.
You know, that skill is very powerful, but I'll tell you my own motivation for learning it. Facebook Facebook's back end, it puts me off every single time. Anytime I get in there, it's like I'm starting all over from A to Z again. And then when you think of outsourcing it, you have to share, you have to add somebody to this, then share that to be able to get them to do this. They need to do the budget, you need to pay the service fee. And I'm like, if I already had this skill, it removes the service fee. I'll just run my ads without, like, there's a lot of calculation I do anytime I think about running ads. And so to remove that calculation from my head, that would be the only reason I would think of learning it. But on the other hand, anytime I think about the back end of, you know, their Facebook system, I'm like, I'm not sure I want to spend my time figuring this out. So I might as well tell somebody who enjoys doing it to go ahead and do what they do best, you know, those kind of conflicts. But yeah, I get what you mean. All right. Let's look a bit about your story. When I first met you, then you were answering the content guru. I think it was 2020, 2021. You were answering the content guru and I knew you more as the content guy than I knew you as the email guy. And now we are looking at marketing expert, email, LinkedIn growth. So take us a bit on, you know, your journey coming from back then to now.
Okay. I think the first thing was I got introduced to actually writing content online in 2017 in the University of Port Harcourt. You know, so I used to write on my Facebook wall back then. Then one of my Facebook friends just messaged me. I was like, guy, you know how to write? A lady, Judy. Judy was like the one who introduced me to the whole online stuff. So Judy was like, guy, do you know how to write? So there's this WhatsApp group where they used to pay us to write to. It's just ₦1 per word. But you know, they're going to make money for me. So like play, I joined the WhatsApp group. So they'll just drop a tax. And if you are free, the first person to say, I will handle it, basically handles it. So that's basically how it works. And these guys can drop like 10, 20 tax in one day. So there's enough tax to actually go around. Yeah. So I started doing that. And I think then I got to a point where I was averaging ₦30,000 per week from doing that. This was 2016, 17. ₦30,000 per week was big money. So, and got to a point, I was no longer asking home for money. And one day, my dad called me. I was like, whether I was now being thrown in school, this one, I'm not calling to ask for money. So, but that was where the whole stuff started from, right? And then I just kept on doing that on that WhatsApp group. But then, during my internship at NAVDAC, I met somebody, right? Because the WhatsApp group suddenly collapsed. Our madam fell seriously sick and she had to end the whole thing. She had surgery. It was very, very serious. So the whole thing collapsed. So after school, I met a guy, my friend Joshua. He's a pharmacist too. He was an intern. Joshua didn't want to do internship. Like, he was not interested in the internship money, which was something that was like a motivation for many pharmacists. I want to go collect internship money. But he was not moved by it. So I was like, guy, why are you not so interested in this internship? That's when Joshua made me realize that he earns roughly $2,000 per month on Fiverr doing graphic design. So he told me, guy, she used to write. I said, yes. So he helped me set up my Fiverr account then, right? So the first month, I think I only made $20. I only had one request from somebody, made $20. He was just telling me, just continue. So we left internship. I went to NYSC. My NYSC, I don't just know what happened. So that's if doors just opened on $300 here, $400, $500. Then I got one of my biggest roles there. I wrote an autobiography for a U.S. Marine in the U.S. So he wanted me to write his book. So he basically sent me voice notes and I thought about it and I wrote the autobiography, right? Then he paid me about $1,000 to write that autobiography. This was 2019, entering 2020. But then something crazy happened in 2020. I woke up one morning, my Fiverr account was hacked. The balance I had there, I did not see it. I complained to Fiverr. They shut down the account. They tried to recover the account and just advised me to open a new one. I was kind of devastated. So I left Fiverr. I now decided to go on Instagram. That was now when we met in 2021, 2022. So I decided to go to Instagram and I asked myself, what am I good at? Content writing. Then I also learned how to write content. But I bought a course from, I think, from Gulibe. Yes, I learned copywriting. And I now decided to say, okay, the content guru. And I came out, Instagram, gone blazing, pa-pa-pa. After the content guru for a while, entry email marketing was just by chance. I got hired to do email copywriting and then got upgraded to do email news management. So I was learning on the job of doing it. And I started taking courses, took courses from Ching Gregory. Like, I took too many courses that period just to transition fully to email marketing. Then after that, I disappeared from Instagram because life happened. I got married, life became very busy, and I decided to just stay calm down standing there because I didn't have the strength to be creating video content. I'm not lying to you. So after that, I now moved to LinkedIn, and I figured out the algorithm quite easily. I watched, you might know him, Jasmine Alick. So I followed Jasmine Alick's content very closely to understand what he thought around, you know, LinkedIn growth and all of that. And I applied some of them to my page. It grew. And I thought about offering LinkedIn management as one of my offers within the agency, right? But our core offer is still email marketing. And the LinkedIn is just basically for those who have top of funnel issues, who don't have like a very good brand out there, just to help them build that brand. So that's the summary of my story.
And it has been such an interesting story. Very interesting, fitting story. All right. So before we go into how you discovered the spam issues and how you fixed it, we have a routine here, and it's time for open rates confession. This is where you tell us your biggest or your worst email marketing mistake, something that kept you up at night, something that kept you thinking, questioning yourself, wondering, how did I get here? Who sent me work? Or, you know, it may have even led to tears or something. What would that mistake be?
Okay. I think there are two that kind of rank there. I think so. The first one was, so usually when I write my emails in Google Drive, I don't put the first name in the correct way. You know, I'm supposed to put the two brackets and everything. I just put first name in normal brackets and I just continue writing on Google Drive. So then I now moved it to ClearView, right? I forgot to change their first name part. I left it like that. And I sent out the emails to 18,000 people, right?
Okay.
To 18,000 people. And when I saw it, it was crazy. I was scared. And my point was, let the client not just see it, because she's also signed up to the email list. So the client saw it, and I wanted to enter inside ground. I was just promising, it will never happen again. The second one was more scary, right? You know, when you want to put somebody's first name, contact name, your contact name and all those parentheses so that their name will appear. So inside Go High Level, I don't know why the hell they have both contact name and username. So me, when I started using Go High Level initially, I didn't know that there was kind of a difference. I didn't actually really understand the platform. So I just put normal username and I move on, thinking that the user is the user that's supposed to get the email. But no, the user is me.
It's me.
So everybody got hello Tijoke. All 8,000 of them on that list got hello Tijoke. Okay. How did my client know? Somebody sent me a message and said, my name is not Tijoke. They sent me a message on WhatsApp. Why are you calling me? And it's a UK brand. And there are guys who are not even like Nigerian or any Nigerian. They're the ones who are like, who is Choke? So they had a WhatsApp community. So that's what they discussed in the WhatsApp community that day, because I'm also in the WhatsApp community. So I asked them and tell them that it was a mistake and a glitch. And because of the community, it was actually easy to handle. I will just try to, you know, laugh it off, because it's a finance group, but I have a very, very strong community of people that I had built over the years. So that's why it was easy to write out, but I was so scared. They even threatened to stop the service itself. It was like, I'm very careful about what I do, you know, but after your experience, it's not happening again. That is good. I learned. I'm just learning this platform. I should forgive me. Those are the mistakes that really scared the living daylight out of me. I thought I would lose that client, actually. So.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody understands, Will. I feel like the first one is more pardonable,
yeah,
because a lot of people have made that mistake. But the second one is like, ouch. I mean, I can just imagine somebody sending out an email to everybody on my list saying, hello, my name. The Slack channel is going to be buzzing or whatever chat notification that we are using, because somebody's going to have a lot of explaining to do. But I'm glad you were able to, you know, work out things with the client, and then it became a a learning curve and, you know, something that today you can laugh
at. Why even make the committee active that day? Like, the committee needs to be not very active, but they had something to talk about that day. They're like, oh, your email guy, is he here? Is he here?
Oh, they came for you. Wow.
It was so open that on my mistake, he told them, cut me out. Like, he's the one that made.
Well, I guess it did end on a good note then.
Yeah.
But wow. I mean, I've had a lot of confessions, but this particular one, I think it's similar. Somebody else has made this mistake, but not even because of using username. I think in her case, and that's in one of our previous episodes, what happened was somebody did a setup, and I don't know how the person did the setup, but the emails will send and your hello first name will end up being her name. And because she didn't do the setup, she took over from that person. She didn't know about it. She did her usual work she would do and got the shock of her life, right? So that kind of thing. I know how crazy it can be. All right. So let's go into your experiment, what you tried out, what you did. Tell us a bit, just create some context for us about this, you know, the brand and what you were doing that you even discovered your emails were going to spam in the first place.
Okay. So this is an educational brand, right? So what they do is that two founders, co-founders, both in the UK, they are like business analysts, right? So they have been business analysts for the past 10 years, a decade, and they discovered that there's like a gap in their niche, right? So many people don't even know that there's a need for business analysts. So they decided that, okay, we're going to help people transition from whatever career they're doing to becoming business analysts. So that's what they basically do. So a company helps you transition to a business analyst, helps you get internship space and get a job. That's their offer. We'll coach you, we'll train you for interviews, we'll get you an internship, and we'll get you your first job. That's their offer, right? So that's what they offer. But then they are brought in, you realize that their emails, they had 1,500 emails on their email list, but they don't know the last time they emailed those people. Like, it has been a while that they emailed those people. So we started emailing them. We are emailing them. Things we are going well. We are getting 23%, 15%, 30%, 23%. Then suddenly one day, I opened the statistics of an email and I saw open rate 0.4%. I said,
Is it what?
0.4% open rate.
Okay.
The next email, 0.8%. That's when I started to think about what was the problem. So another marketer told me, okay, guy, take those emails and run them through Gemini and ask Gemini why this email is landing on spam, right? So when I ran them through Gemini, what I saw was that Gemini said that, first of all, there are too many financial claims, right? So we have, throughout the email, there are these claims that are going to help you get a job of 60,000 to 70,000 pounds per annum. So Gemini just kept underlining that, like, this is a financial claim. This financial claim, it says it's unrealistic. So claims like this usually end up in spam. It underlined many other things. The language that I was using said it was too persuasive. It was too marketing-ish. And plenty things. It really tore my email apart. It almost every line just pointing out something that I need to, like, deal with, right? So what I now did was, like, okay, I said, so if you would write this email up to exclude spam triggers, how would you do it, right? So she wrote the email. Then I did some of my own revisions. And then we sent out the next email. So the next five emails that we sent out, we passed them through this process, all these processes, and we sent them out. And before you knew it, we are saying, oh, 15%, 20%. Right now, I think the last email we sent yesterday is at 35%. The open rate is above 30% upward now, right? Because we changed everything. So instead of focusing on the how much you are going to make, we switched the marketing angle, right? So instead of just focusing on, oh, you're going to make money, I'm going to make money, like every get rich quick scheme online course out there, we decided to be, okay, we are actually going to show you the how. We are not just going to help you make money. No. That transition, the part of, will take you, will coach you one-on-one, because they do cohorts. 20 people per cohort, 2,000 pounds, one-on-one, you get attention, you are coached, you are everything, and then you are helped to transition. So that was what we focused on, what made our program unique, and how we are different from other people who have this similar offer where they pack like 300 people inside one place and end up not even knowing that they are there, right? Our own is different. So that was the angle. See, the team made me change the entire marketing angle of our emails, really. And it came interesting, actually. And we said to educate people more rather than trying to, you know, force the sale down their throat. So, yeah. And I think why we were so aggressive was because we were trying to scale. So that was why we were just so aggressive. Everything was just aggressive, and but it ended up failing.
I think this is really interesting because I'm just looking at the fact that, you know, it was doing well. It was doing okay at the beginning, and then suddenly it tanked. So in that period where, you know, you noticed these changes, had you also just like changed, were you like maybe admin of a launch? Had you just changed maybe strategy, or had you just...
So initially, the emails that we are sending, because we have not messaged people in a while, so we are busy educating them gradually, nicely, you know, talking about the brand, what we do, how we do it, basically educating them, what does a BA do, what is they in life for a BA. But then, we now wanted to start making money from the list, right? So we now became more aggressive, right? So we're now, you know, talking about the financial claims. We are just, you know, very, very trying to be persuasive, you understand? And that was it. Then also, one of the right things that he pointed out, that Gemini pointed out, now, this is very interesting, right? I forgot to mention, but it's also very important. Gemini told us that the email, you know, that's, for instance, chijoke@thecontentgool.com, right? He said that domain name behind the email does not match the domain name we are sending them to inside the platform. This has never happened to me before, but it's telling me that it's a problem. Generally, it's telling me that it's a problem. Yet. So we are sending them to dbsacademy.com or something like that. But our domain name for email itself was different. So what we had to do was we basically did a new domain name verification for that particular site and then added it. That's also one of the major things that it helped us point out. Like, there's a disparity here. Let us have the uniformity. That they say it may be one of the reasons, right? So that was another thing. So two things, that domain name and then the fact that we are launching our June, July cohort. So we are trying to get the 20 people that wanted to sign up. So that made us a bit, you know, to pressure people. So that was the changing strategy.
Okay. And now I'm just wondering, like, I mean, everybody can easily say to any AI to like tear my email apart, tell me what's working. But why Gemini in particular? Why not ChatGPT? Why not Claude? Why not all the 1001 other tools that we have out there?
So it was Gemini because the thinking behind Gemini was simple. Many of the inboxes that we are going to be sending email to was at gmail.com. Yeah. And the person who is, I know spam triggers are not manual, they're automated. That's an algorithm that's automating it. So we believe that it's the same algorithm that is sending things to spam that is inside the Gemini. Now we're able to recognize what it will send to spam because it's the same ecosystem. But so that's why we use Gemini, because most of the emails that we're sending emails to are emails that are under the Gmail infrastructure. So that's why we picked Gemini over other platforms. And honestly, personally, experience-wise, ChatGPT is amazing, you know, it's great, you know. Well, there are some things that if I want to do is I come to Gemini over, you know, ChatGPT. Especially things that have to do with the Google ecosystem.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. That makes a lot of sense. So what kind of prompts were you using? So give us like an example of, so you said the first one is like, why is this email going to spam? That kind of thing. Yeah. But were there other questions that you put in there for Gemini to deliver the results that you got?
Okay, so the first thing was, can you point out the spam triggers in this email? Right, spam triggers. Because Go High Level actually sent us email asking us to check our, because even when your open rate is so low, Go High Level can actually tell you, can actually tell you that this, if open rate is not good, you might have some spam triggers that are sending your stuff to spam. So I asked for spam triggers. I asked it for the subject lines itself. I asked it to review our subject lines and give me the probability of this thing landing in spam. That was basically the question. Give me whether it's landing in spam. And most of the emails were just giving me 90%, 95%. It was really brutal. The and 5% and all of that. Then when I now wanted to kind of write it, and I said, okay, now I have put that all of these spam triggers and all of these issues with this email. Can you write this email to 100% land in the inbox? Not in the promotions, in the inbox, right? So I was very specific about it landing in the inbox. That way, I answered that, you know, rewriting the emails and all of that. Yeah. And then I had to now take it myself, go rewrite the right, bring it back and say, okay, check now for any spam triggers and if this email is going to land in the inbox. And they now vetted it last time and I just had it ready to go. So that's the process I just took.
I'm just curious, like, how long did this take? The writing, the rewriting, the prompting?
Okay, so for every email, I think, so because for this brand, I kind of choose a day and I write all the emails. So we have like a calendar for what we want to do. So we'll send out 3 emails per week, 3 emails every week based on different content pillars. So the 3 emails, everything, roughly an hour plus, right? An hour plus, because this is my not research, because I've already researched the angles I want to do. I've already researched the how I want the email to sound, right? And everything. So that has been done. The actual writing the first draft, putting it in, and correcting what Gemini told us to correct, everything for the 3 emails, around an hour, right? But the thing is, now I don't run almost all the emails through Gemini that much anymore, because I think personally I've also kind of figured out some of the things that have been an issue. You just keep pointing the same thing over to you again, you just have to learn it and it becomes kind of automatic. So at the moment, I don't really run all of the emails through Gemini and we haven't had that issue anymore.
So if we're looking at how you step by step rebuilt your deliverability and took those open rates out of the spam red zone and started getting into like the green zone, were there other things that you did outside of, let's speak with Gemini, let's ask Gemini, do this, do that?
Yeah, so we actually wanted to attack everything from all angles, right? So while we wanted the Gemini to do its work, the next thing we did was, so there's this platform, Onebox. Yeah. So Onebox, basically what it does is it's an AI-powered platform that helps you automatically warm your email list, email list warming. That's what I would finally used to do manually, right? So there's an AI company, Onebox, that helps you do that. So another thing we did, in addition to all of this, was to connect our email list to Onebox and have it warm up the emails. And that was another thing that we did. So basically, Onebox helps you to ensure that none of your emails land in spam, right? And it works better. At that point, it's just as a last resort, because Onebox really works better. For instance, maybe if you are building a new list or an email list that's been abandoned. So recently, another client came, they help people become tech sales reps. So the same kind of business, but different job will tech sales, right? So these people have 21,000 people in their email list, but I don't know why they emailed them. So basically, what we did now, based on all the lessons we have learned in the past from that last client, was first of all, run all the emails through Onebox, and then every single automation I set up, right, I passed everything to Gemini from day one and got marketing angles that actually worked. And then we sent my emails. I sent out my first email for this brand last Saturday, and the open rate of 23%, 23% for the first email, right? So that's because now we didn't go through the consequences that we went through with the last brand, but this one we just started the writing from the beginning. So Onebox AI, everybody should check out that too. It's a very important tool that can really help you. Yeah.
Okay. Now this is really good. Now usually once I see open rate dropping, what I would usually do before I even go like external, I haven't tried out this Gemini thing before, is I would usually like break my emails into segments. Right. So I want to pick out my engaged leads, right? Focus on them first and then begin to build engagement with the other people, in the sense that I'll taper down on the number of emails I'm sending to them. And then at the same time, as they, open the emails and meet the criteria, they begin to move into the engaged, you know, list of people where they now begin to get even more emails. Did you try any, you know, sort of thing like that in this process?
So this was why I knew that there was a problem, because we are sending to the engaged list. So yeah, that was why there was an issue. You understand? We're not sending to the whole list. So the list was 1,002, like I told you. But what was engaged around 400. If 400 is getting 0 point something, then I say that is a very big problem. You get, so that was what really scared me, right? That, okay, something is wrong somewhere. Something is wrong somewhere. I don't know that I'm going to log into that account now. It's crazy, right? That was why it was an issue for me. Because these are the people that have been engaged with this brand for the last 120 days. And so that means everybody has opened an email, clicked the link, done something last 120 days. So why is it not, why is it open with this bad? Then that means you're not even landing in their inbox to even start with. And because I'm signed up to like many lists, like recently I noticed there's one guy I like to read his email from Twitter. So there also is that, oh, his email are landing in spam. And I know he makes a lot of like big financial promise anyway. But I don't know that it's innocent. And I used to read his emails. So I'm an engaged user in his email. But now his email is landing in spam. So for me. So that's kind of what happened.
Okay. Now that even gives us even more context. So now I'm wondering, right? You know how you have different schools of thought. So some people are like, AI will take your jobs, AI will do this, AI will do that. And then there are some people who are just behind the scenes building like AI businesses, integrating it into what they do, and, you know, using it as a tool to work smart, work better, and all of that. So if somebody, you know, wants to bring in Gemini into their email marketing, how would you, you know, advise them beyond what it is that you have tried, you have shared rather?
Okay. So like AI is basically a tool, right? It's basically a tool that helps make your life easy. The school of thought, like, instead of integrating it into what you do. Yeah. So for email marketing, how can you integrate AI into your email marketing skills? So one of the things you can do actually is to use AI to actually do like very good research. In fact, check the research anyway and make sure that it's saying the right thing. So research is one place that I use like AI to get things moving. So usually when I onboard a new client or onboard new clients, that's if you give them a very detailed form to fill, where they talk about their brand story, they talk about a lot and a lot of things, right? So one of the things I do, apart from, you know, what I know about email strategy and how I get new kind of ideas and new ways to go about things, is to take everything about that client, their website, that comprehensive form that they filled, every freaking thing, and I put it inside Gemini. And I kind of train Gemini on that particular client so that whatever is given to me after now for this brand, so all my clients have a tab on ChatGPT and on Gemini. So any client I want to do things, so I go to that particular tab and continue the conversation. That way, it's giving me replies based on all the 1 million tags me and him has had about this particular brand, right? And it is more kind of spot on and random. So the first thing I do is I take all this and I put there, and I ask to give me like an overview of this brand and give me based on, I call out names, yet based on email strategies by this person, by that person, how do you think I should approach this role? So by the time I give them those suggestions, I sift through them and I pick out the things I like, the things I don't like, I threw them away. And so that is why I believe that if you're actually not an expert in your field, AI might actually just confuse you more than it helps you. Yeah? So you should actually learn the basics first by yourself before you start using AI. So I used to map out the strategy. So once the strategy is done and dusted, I know, okay, this is what I want to do for this particular brand. These are the automations you need to set up. This is the strategy I want to use for this month. These are how I want to get the results I want to get. I partner with AI to do that. Then for the writing of emails, right? So there was a point that I didn't use to write first drafts again for some client. AI writes the first draft, then I now work on it. But then there are clients that I write the first draft myself. It's depending on the brand. For instance, for e-commerce brands right now, I don't write the first draft, most of them, because some of them have worked there for like 2 years now. And AI has 2 years worth of history with that brand and me. ChatGPT specifically, and then has history with that brand. And I mean, so many times I just what marketing angles do you think can go for these particular products that the brand is selling? And it gives me marketing angles. And I like it. If it brings out the first copy with a not this button, you work on it, you adjust it, you just make it better. So what does I cut down the time I used to kind of do things, because now I'm partnering with something that's a lot faster than me. And then after that, I used to also do the whole spam trigger stuff that I mentioned. Because of the e-commerce angle, products, images, you can do a lot with AI when it comes to putting your product images in different scenarios. So I can take a product image that's more plain background, ask it to put it on a table, put it in the hands of a model, do this, do that. So I use all of those email manipulation skills that ChatGPT has come way better at that now. Use it, and I just use some of those images for my hero image, do my designs and all of that. So those are some ways that I actually use. I partner with AI to get results. And I learned this one from Max Stottevan. He's an email e-commerce manager. He runs an agency, WellCopy, a very successful agency. So he's one that talked about how to use like ChatGPT to kind of get better product images for your emails. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. That's such a lot of information right there. And so, a lot of people are building custom GPTs. I've heard, yes. I think it was Kenneth Rome, right? Well, I've heard another copywriter also talk about training your ChatGPT, your AI tools to be able to have the information they need for a particular brand, right?
Yes.
And so that's one thing I really picked where you said they have 3 years worth of history, all the conversations you have, that kind of thing. So it means that they actually need the information to be able to give you what it is you want. And so I wanted to ask, you said you have a tab for each client. So are we talking about a tab as per custom GPTs per client, or we're talking about separate ChatGPT accounts per client?
Okay, custom GPTs within the same account.
Okay. Yes. So now that just, provides a bit more context. So some people might be thinking about how they want to open multiple.
One account. And it's so crazy that it brings back even things that you yourself has forgotten. For instance, now, if I want to recall how the strategy is for Black Friday last year, you can remember it because it's right inside there. Understand? And how we can modify it better for this year. So it just kind of makes the work easy. Fighting it is just wasting your time because you are not going to win that battle. You understand? So you use it, but then like I said, make sure that you have already understood the basics. Because there's something this guy said, copy titan, I clicked on Twitter. He was talking about how he knows the difference between when a new copywriter uses AI and when an experienced copywriter uses AI. The difference is glaring, right? So even when people write that's a point that AI is so templatey in writing LinkedIn copy. I got to a point I stopped using AI to write my LinkedIn post. And now I sit down and I said, because I didn't like the way to write it. Once you mention LinkedIn, that's how he wants to write it, right? So, and I see it everywhere. When you go on LinkedIn, you see it. It's there. It's so glary. So I decided to just write it by myself. There's some things I write by myself. But then when it comes to and also, I'm not a designer, right? I'm not a designer per se. You get so. But what AI helps me do is I give it the copy I want to put in a design, and I tell it to suggest a way this design is going to look good. And Natalie gives me suggestions. And when I do it, it looks kind of good because of the suggestions it gives me. Centralize it, use this font size, use this color, because I've already fed it the brand colors, use this, use that, use that. I thought, it starts making sense. So these are some of the things that it helps you do. And it just helps you stack skills, as a person, basically. So that's it.
I think that's so powerful. And so I'm just wondering, from this experience, as regards understanding niche-specific compliance, right? Because this was the first time you were having this problem and it was in different niche. What lessons or what did this teach you?
So it talks to me, when you are training with an email marketer, you hear about GDPR, all these plenty laws that are in different countries about email. But you don't like, as a newbie, you don't like take them seriously because you don't actually think about them. But when you start now working, you start realizing that these are like very serious issues and that you can actually put your client inside trouble with the law, with the way you're marketing. You understand? So it just helped me to kind of understand that there are some, because of the scammy marketing or spammy marketing that has been allowed to go through on the internet for the past two decades now, all these platforms are now clamping down on certain things. And people are kind of tightening the rules and trying to make things like, make platforms sane, right? So you have to now train yourself to do marketing within the confines of the law, right, of the rules. For e-commerce, I didn't have that problem because I was just selling a product and I was ensuring that I didn't make like outrageous promises. For instance, one of our clients was like that she knows that her product can clear acne within 7 days, right? But don't say that. Don't say 7 days because of people might think it's very unrealistic. So we just said, okay, 21 days. The product lasts 21 days. So our selling point, if you use it for 21 days and don't get results, you can return the empty bottle and get your money back. That's the entire angle of the brand, right? So when you start thinking about how to market within the laws, it starts giving you unique ways to actually sell, right? So that's it.
I mean, I want to ask if anybody has ever actually returned the empty bottle. But...
No. That's the crazy part about guarantees. Nobody has returned the empty bottle.
That's so cool. All right. So how can marketers adapt to the ever-changing deliverability rules? You said, you know, they're making it tighter. They're making it stricter. We've all seen it. We've all experienced it. So how do we adapt? How do we stay aware and adapt to the ever-changing rules?
I think it's just to keep educating yourself. Like recently, you have to also like be very active on like all these platforms. Well, like one of the platforms actually helps you know what's happening in the marketing world. You might not like the platform, but it's Twitter, right? So Twitter guys are dialed in on what is going on in the marketing world. Like they are very dialed in. There are like many more people there that are very, very dialed in on what's going on. Follow those guys. Recently, I don't know that you heard that, I think it was Texas or one state like that said that you'll be paying tax if you want to send SMS to their citizens. I've forgotten the state. But guess what? The founder of one of the SMS companies took them to court. I would not know this if I was not on Twitter. You get? So he's the matter is in court as we speak. Because why am I paying tax without sending SMS? Because I want to sell using SMS market. I cannot be making money like that. You get? So you have to just follow some of these thought leaders, see what they are saying. So some people advised, okay, if you have guys in Texas, you can first exclude by location because some SMS platforms allow you to do that and just be sending to other people for now until we figure out what's going on. But if you are just in your shell, you are not connected, you are not dialed into a marketing community, you won't know this. We'll all be there doing. It was me that told my client that they have sold Yapo, this SMS platform, YOTPO. They woke up one day and said they have closed. It was on Twitter that I heard that they have closed, that they're not doing it again. So, my client that, see, this SaaS app have closed. But they actually sold their database, the SMS database, to Attentive. So you now have to move to Attentive to use the service. But I won't know this if I wasn't dialed into a marketing community. Again, you must not start or comment, but just be seeing what is going on. Be there on the ground, enjoy, but be seeing what is going on. Connect with these experts, hear what they are saying. Some of them actually go to these platforms and have meetings. They are Klaviyo partners. They actually go and sit down with people that the founders of Klaviyo and have discussions. Hear what they are saying and learn from them. Because these guys are sharing freely on Twitter every day. Like, funny enough is that some of them don't even have like training and everything. Whatever they are getting, they are posting it on a tweet. And you're just seeing it there like that. So follow them, connect with them, and learn. Be aware of the change and then see how you can make the change like work for you. Recently, FTC, these guys that regulate all these online businesses in the US, started clamping down on some of these e-commerce guys that are promising heaven and earth. So if you didn't know, that's how you go and do your own promotion and they come arrest you. So these are the things you have to kind of like...
I'm listening to your client.
Unless your client, sorry, you are not even there. Your client just coming from prison. And you that they cannot pay you this one. So these are the things. So because our own country, and funny enough, these things are getting to Nigeria now. Like Facebook ads, they are threatening taxes. Things are just changing. You get just have to stay up to date, follow the news, follow relevant people. And as the change is coming, keep learning dynamic ways to kind of keep doing it. But because challenges just help you to think of easier ways to do marketing. Yeah.
Yeah. They make you also think out of the box. This has been such a conversation. So what is one email marketing myth that you want to bust today?
Okay, this one is very personal. Like, so it's personal because I didn't even know that was a problem. Like, I genuinely did not know, right? So when I first became doing my email marketing for e-commerce brands, right? I didn't know that they used to design their emails. I'm telling you the truth. I carried my info email marketing style and brought it to e-commerce, and I was doing storytelling. I was knocking stories inside e-commerce email marketing. And we are killing it. We are making money. We had an engaged community inside e-commerce. So instead of, you know, giving you that design of, oh, acne product, blah, blah, I'll tell you a story of a client who bought this thing within 3 weeks. This happened. I put the before and after picture in the middle, the same way we do, like, you know, info marketing. And I just brought the same idea there. And what it did that I didn't know, that I later learned, was that it disrupted pattern. So everybody is sending design emails. I sent text-based emails consistently. Now the audience expect text-based emails. They like it. There's a time I sent out design emails that list. They did not buy it. So they did not buy it, right? So it's a pattern disrupt. Now you are talking with them. They feel like we know this founder. In fact, one interesting email I sent out, the woman went to shop, and someone that bought her product saw her at the stand, was like, oh, your product helped me. They took a selfie. I posted that selfie inside the email, shared that story, and linked the product that she used that got her that result. So it helped me see e-commerce in the market from a whole different light. And down the line, more people are now seeing that, oh, text-based emails for e-commerce actually get results. Many people are now talking about it, how it disrupts pattern, how it's different, how it feels more personal, how people feel like, okay, they just feel more close to the person, but actually reading the words from them, not like nice designs, you understand? So that is one myth. The myth that you have to have fine design in e-commerce to make money. It's a lie. It's a big lie. Let me brag small. One of my clients said that last 2 weeks, I was so excited about this. I even called my wife at work and I told her. We were on a call last month. So he was telling me that he called 2 email marketing agencies to review his inbox because say they DM'd him with the designs they have done for that brand, trying to, like, you know, get him to work with them. So he told them to review his email marketing and see if they can do better than what is there now. They went in. They came out. They said, oh, there's really nothing they can do to get better results. Why? I'm getting 38.5 to 40 something percent attributed revenue every month from email. And most of the emails are text-based. We're not really designing a lot of things. Then the client even said, when he saw the designs, he wanted to tell me that I should start designing. And I was like, the text-based are getting results. Why does he want to start designing? It's crazy. So that's the small brag that I have. So 2 agencies came. They could not. They said that everything's on point. So it helped me know that I actually have sense.
Oh, wow. But yes. Congratulations and shout out to you. You are doing really, really amazing. So if you could give one deliverability tip to a new email marketer, what would it be?
Okay. So one deliverability tip that we give is, don't forget to give people the chance to unsubscribe from your list, right? A lot of brands forget that. They don't put the unsubscribe link in the... That's a crime right now. So don't forget to give people the chance to unsubscribe from your list in every single email that I sent out. Put that unsubscribe button at the end, or that's one-liner message. Leave it there. Make sure that it's in all of your templates. Leave it there so that I don't forget, because that particular thing has landed some people in spam. Right? And it can just ruin your event.
And it's not just that you put the unsubscribe link. It's also the fact that you test that the unsubscribe link is working.
It's working.
Because sometimes when we try to edit, play around with designs for them to remain on brand because this is who they are. So they may be sending text-based emails, but you have to do modifications to the templates. It may not be up to like what you have for e-commerce. But anyway, as long as you're playing around with the arrangement of the emails. So you may change things from the default that's there, and you need to be sure that it's working. So sometimes I even want to like change the messaging and make it a bit humorous in terms of like the unsubscribe part. You need to be sure that the short code for that unsubscribe or the link, whatever it is the correct one after you have played around. If not, you might just have somebody emailing you to say your unsubscribe button is not working. And then and if somebody if one person could email you, imagine how many other people would have reported you as spam. Because you wouldn't let them get according to them,
you don't want them.
So that's such a good one. All right. So tell us, how can we find you? How can we connect with you? How can we see what amazing things you're doing?
So on LinkedIn, Chijoke Chukwekem, Chijoke Chukwekem on LinkedIn. You see me there. On Instagram, I posted on Instagram yesterday, so I've come back. On Instagram, Chijoke. Hello, Chijoke on Instagram. That's how you find me. And I started shooting YouTube content. So on YouTube, Hello Chijoke, I'm doing email marketing content on YouTube. So Hello Chijoke, you're dropping more videos this month. Yeah, so these are three platforms I am on. So to join the Warriors community, I will put a post on my featured post on LinkedIn because I plan on actually building that community something reasonable. So I'll put a featured post there to direct people to join in. It's a free community basically to, you know, have people who are going the same direction as you to kind of be there, learn together, grow, and get results with LinkedIn specifically. That's what the platform is going to be more about.
Okay. And how can people go beyond the free community to join? Or is it the same community? Reputation Warriors, is it the same community?
Okay. So if you want to actually work with me, like personally or this, or in any way, shape or form, want coaching, all these things. When you get into my LinkedIn, you can actually just send me a DM. That's one way. The second way is you can join the Warriors community and send me a WhatsApp message or any of the admins that you see, any of the community managers, a WhatsApp message. They'll direct it to me and tell exactly how you want me to actually help. So the only coaching I'm offering right now is, first of all, coaching to actually help you to position yourself properly on LinkedIn to actually attract clients. That is the only kind of coaching I'm offering right now. Moving forward, we'll create like other courses around like how to maximize AI for email marketing, copywriting, social media content. Basically, how to use AI as a marketer. So we'll be discussing things like that in the future. But that might come as a course. But just join the Warriors community. That's where you get information on everything I'm going to be doing in the future or now. Hopefully, by God's grace, join the Warriors community because first week of November, we will have a physical event in Lagos. So that's also something to look forward to. First week of November.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been taking a Sky events for like over a year now.
So I have the best guests. They bring in real time, practical, actionable, behind the scenes, what they are doing, how it's working. I think for me, it's the transparency and the, you know, full on access. You don't see that every day. So it has been a pleasure to have you here on the podcast. Every single link that JK shared will be in the show notes. So in case you cannot spell, and I know he pronounced something for you, and some of you would not be able to spell it. You might be able to spell the first part, but not the second part. So I'll help you. All the links would be in the show notes, so you can find him easily, Instagram, LinkedIn, every single place, and of course, the link for you to join the Warriors community, right? Go ahead and try everything he has said today. We would love to hear your own experience from testing out what it is we have said and how that worked out for you. JK, it has been such a pleasure to have you. Any final words?
Okay. Final words is, let me do motivational speakers time. Don't give up. If you are chasing your dream, keep chasing it. But I'm serious. Actually, don't give up. the more you actually put in the effort towards the thing that you want, you eventually get it. Or if, because as a Christian, or if it's, or if God is moving you towards something else, as you are putting efforts in that thing, Kairos, providence will open ways to actually put you on the right track. Yeah. But don't stop building what you are building.
Yes. And don't stop. Till next time, everybody, don't forget to think it, test it, and share it with us. And of course, follow Chijoke across all the links that I will be sharing. Bye.
Bye, guys.